Hi, this is Bill Denton, and this is message number one for sinners only. Let's talk about how you might be feeling right now. Understand that emotions usually fall along a line from negative to positive, and it's quite normal for emotions to vary greatly from one person to another. You might be about to fall apart. Sin can do that. Guilt can be a terrible burden. People get depressed and anxious. Sometimes a person's mind gets to racing through negative thoughts and can't seem to stop. Fear and hopelessness can grip a person so tightly it seems there's no relief in sight. You might feel like you've lost all your friends and that your enemies are out to get you. On the other hand, some people seem immune to any of this. They've managed to escape any of the negative emotions that other sinners experience. It's almost as if they've got that nonstick covering and things just slide off. That doesn't mean they don't experience any negative effects of sin. They might lose friends, but they might take the who care attitudes. Sometimes this lack of emotional impact is the result of shutting down their emotional response. People in this second category find it awfully hard to resolve their sin problem because it's just easier to ignore it or to deny it. People may be in a better position to give a hearing to God's answer for sin if they're going through those negative emotions. For them, the pain caused by their own sin is enough motivation to look for an answer and to be open to it when they find it. Regardless of which emotional response to sin you're going through right now, you can benefit from what I'm about to share with you. Even if you're trying to deny sin's effects, the message can get through and you can find a reason to seek God's answer. If you're really hurting, you're going to find some immediate encouragement. In the introduction to this series of lessons, I said there's hope. There is, and that's what I want to talk about in this message. First, let's talk about what hope is. Sometimes we talk about hope like it means wish. So we say things like, I hope it doesn't rain today. Well, we're really wishing it won't rain. Or we say, I hope I do well on that test I have coming up. Again, we're expressing more of a wish about the outcome. Hope is something quite different. Hope is really a combination of two things. It's desire coupled with expectation. Let me show you the difference between hope and wish. A teenager might be due a report card from school and they know their grades aren't very good. They expect the report card, but they don't desire it because they know that how their parents are going to react. Or somebody might mail in their entry to the publisher's clearinghouse sweepstake. They really desire to win $10 million, but they don't really expect to win. Neither of these is hope. Hope is both a desire, something we want very much, and an expectation we actually expect to get what we want. That's powerful because most of the things we either yearn for or expect in life are one or the other, not both. To have hope means we want something very much and we expect to get it. Now here's what I want you to know. Sinners have hope that there's an answer for sin. Most people want to be forgiven, but they don't expect it. It's this lack of expectation that keeps a lot of people from finding the very forgiveness that they want so very badly. In fact, quite a number of people seem to think that their sins are so bad or so many that God wouldn't want to forgive them. You need to understand something. God really does hate sin, but God really does love you. Those two sentences might seem to be a terrible conflict at the moment, but you need to get this one thing in your head and in your heart. God loves you, sinner that you are, and the one thing God desires more than anything else is to forgive you of all your sins. Need proof of that? Okay. Here are a few verses from the Bible that I think will help greatly. John chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send the Son into the world to judge the world, but that the world might be saved through him. That is perhaps the most popular verse in the whole Bible. But you might need to hear it in a more personal way. We're used to hearing it as a statement about God's love for the world, so focus the statement down onto one person. You. Put your name instead of the world. If your name is Bob, read it this way. For God so loved Bob, that he gave his only begotten Son. Or if your name is Brenda, read it, for God so loved Brenda. That's exactly what it means. God loves you, and that love is the motive for sending his Son Jesus into the world and making it possible for you to be saved. Here's another passage, Romans chapter 8 and the first two verses. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set you free from the law of sin and death. I can't think of a passage loaded with more good news than that. If you are in Christ Jesus, you've been set free from the law of sin and death. There is no condemnation for those who are in Jesus. None. Forgiveness has happened. Guilt has been removed. You're okay with God, and when you're okay with God, it changes everything. Here's one more passage, Ephesians chapter 1, verses 18 through 20. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened, so that you will know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the surpassing greatness of his power toward us who believe. These are in accordance with the working of the strength of his might, which he brought about in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places. You know, sometimes it's just worth praying that people get the message. The Apostle Paul prayed for the church at Ephesus. He wanted those people to know the hope of God's calling. I'm quite sure that if the burden of your sins is weighing you down, you need some hope. So everybody associated with this effort of ours to communicate the good news of Jesus Christ is praying that you will see the hope that is there for you. I can't give you any encouragement that your sins don't matter. The truth is that our sins create all sorts of bad things. That's one of the reasons guilt is so bad. It's the burden of truth about the nature and effect of our sins. It's a load none of us can carry. But I want you to know that there is hope. It's found in God's love. Let me be very specific about what I want you to get from this first message. Though your sin is very real and very bad, and God definitely hates your sin, God loves you. Because he loves you, he sent his son Jesus into the world to make forgiveness possible. You can have a hope that goes way beyond wishing there was an answer. You can desire that answer, and you can expect to get it. It's that sure. If you'll let him, God will take away your sins. The first thing you need to know is that there's hope. You must believe that. If you don't believe it, you can't possibly apply God's answer to your sin problem. But there is a solution to sin. Your life can change. You can deal with guilt and depression and fear and confusion and anything else that sin produces. You can find peace of mind and heart. It's there, just waiting for you. In the following lessons, we're going to explore more of the bad news about sin, but don't get discouraged. These are things you need to know. Sin is bad news, and we need to know just how bad the bad news is. But always remember, sin has an answer, and there's hope. That's what God wants you to know. This is Bill Denton. Time now for Lesson 2.